Good morning. I'm Pastor Rob Danz here from Antioch, Wichita, welcoming you. Thanks for plugging in. If you're in the room with us today, or if you're on the stream, we just want to say welcome. This is our first Sunday back using the building. And so in limited levels, but we're pretty excited to be getting back together. And so if you're new here today, we don't believe that's an accident. Extremely honored just to have you with us. You have no idea how God just can work sometime and put you in the right place at the right time. Maybe you do have an idea, but we don't believe that you're here by accident, or believe you're here on purpose. And so welcome. And we're praying for God to touch your heart today like he touches ours. And so if you know me over the years, I really have done a lot of growing in the way of my zeal. When we started the church, and for a long time, preached hard, preached God's word. I don't think I was preaching anything that was wrong, but I was so zealous about it that sometimes I think I had a tendency to run people over with it sometimes, which was never my heart. My heart was, this is the gospel, we're gonna preach it. And so over the years, I've softened up a little bit, not too much. I still like to throw it down. I just learned a valuable lesson one time from one of my favorite pastors. He essentially said, you know, if you're gonna throw down the word hard, you better throw in a good percentage of love and encouragement in that. And so, you know, over the years, that's morphed. But we've always talked about, and we've always walked and preached and ran after over the years, the sense of urgency that this isn't a joke. Like we are followers of Jesus, and that has been our heart. Sure, we've up and down. You know, we've had our battles and struggles. We've been attacked by the enemy a whole lot. But I will say this: we are urgently passionate about the gospel and about Jesus being known and being made known, and we're unapologetic about that. And so, there have been a lot of great urgency spoken over our movement over the last number of years, and our church just specifically. And I know at the beginning of this year, as movement-wide, the sermons and the anthem for the year and for last year was, the time is now. Like, it felt like God was saying, now is the time, get everything on the altar, go, 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 go. There's something happening from 2015 to 2020 that is leading us into this next decade, and it's gonna be monumental. And so, and it's becoming more and more clear that those words have a lot of profound meaning. So from everything from coronavirus to stuff going on in our country right now, it's just the racial brokenness, it seems clear that the time is now. And so what I was saying about the preaching stuff earlier was, you know, it's not hellfire and brimstone, but it is hellfire and brimstone. Sometimes in crazy days where things are urgent, you need to, we need to hear what God is saying, and we need to speak what God is saying. And so today is a little bit of that. And so, you know, America has been called over the years, over its lifetime, the great experiment. So this republic, democracy ran by the people for the people. Our forefathers put a lot of work and heart into our existence and trying to foresee things in the future. And they did a great job in a lot of ways. And at the same time, our country was born with a birth defect, like the slavery thing, this injustice of all times, and for our country, we just didn't grow straight. And then on top of that, anytime you get the free will of man leading the free will of man, it gets messy. And so honestly, right now, if we look at things, it looks like the great American experiment is going to fail. And you can agree with that or not. Our hope and our prayer is that God intervenes in this country in a big way. But in the end, the church was never called to be grounded in this experiment. The church has only been called to be grounded in Christ Jesus. And so whatever happens with our country, there's something going on right now that's clear, is that things aren't good, and they're not going to get better anytime soon. I think our country is losing its mind, and some things need to be addressed. Other things are just so out of control that it's hard to get your head around it. And so for the church, this can be overwhelming, but it should not be a surprise, and it need not be something that's crippling. Like this season, it can be overwhelming, but it's not a surprise. This is what happens when humanity in its sinful nature runs wild. And as we've talked about over the last number of 3 months in this coronavirus gig, and now with all this other stuff happening, one of the biggest blessings coming out of this season, I think, out of this great brokenness and calamity, is the Lord is allowing secondary securities in this world that have become idols burn away. I mean, we've talked for years about this. We have this, we fight ourselves in Western church with this, this understanding of the gospel and Jesus wanting more and so much more happening through the Spirit around the world. And at the same time, we're so comfortable, we're so taken care of, we're so free that it ends up becoming that noose pillow that we have. And here's the deal. God is melting a lot of that stuff off away. And I know that there are a lot of people that just keep praying and waiting for things to go back to normal. And maybe one of the biggest points of this whole ordeal was normal was never kingdom. And so with that, there's a good chance that we might not ever go back to the way things were 4 months ago. Things are turning on their heads day by day by day by day. But we must decide how we are going to respond. We don't, as believers and followers of Christ Jesus, we don't get to hide. We don't get to just ride this thing out. We're here for a reason, and we have to respond. And so my reason for saying this isn't a bunch of doom and gloom, everything is bad. Everything is bad, but nothing is out of control in heaven. And for us, we have hope. We have the hope of Jesus, even in times like this. It's great to say it on a good day, but in seasons like this, we cling on to the cross and cling on to Jesus. And it is our time to respond obediently and completely for the way that Jesus has called us. And so we have to remain clear. So here's the deal. These things that we're going through is not a surprise to heaven. If you look in the scriptures, Matthew 24, verses 3 through 14, Jesus is with his guys, and as he said on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age?" And Jesus answered them, "See that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name saying, 'I am Christ,' and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of birth pains. Then they will deliver you up in tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." See, and so what am I saying? Is this the end? Here's the question, and my answer is, I don't know. I really don't know. I know that we're living in the last days, the eschaton, from the cross till now. These are the last days. But you have to say that at least one of two things are happening. Either this is the end of life as we know it, as far as in our culture and the way things have been, and things are going to change drastically, and we need to respond. or Jesus is getting close to coming back. These are unprecedented times, but it's everything that's happening, the calamities and the rising up of nations and the issues with men and hatred and violence and turning away from God. God's supposed people in some places are walking away. Their hearts are growing cold. People are jumping on to topics and issues and paradigms of their own Christianity, and it's nuts. But it's not unforeseen, and it shouldn't knock us off our blocks. And as believers, as we look to these end times, our souls long for something else. We have to remember that we are a part of something so much bigger than what we see. Romans 8:22-25. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. You see, there is, and honestly should be, this holy angst and groaning in the spirit of God's people, because this place is not our home. We weren't wired to be here forever. We have been rewired to be kingdom inhabitants of heaven, and this place is not the end of it. And so as I thought about these things, and it sat on me heavy this week, I prayed and I said, Jesus, how do I address all of this stuff? Because I feel a lot of angst in my heart about things I can say and feel like I can't say. And in the end, as I prayed, I just heard the Lord speak this into my spirit. And here's what he said. Now more than ever. Now more than ever. And I started to process and think about that. It takes me back to the time is now, but I feel like God has amplified it for us, because what's happening on the face of the earth, and Jesus is saying, now more than ever is time for you to rise, for you to follow in his footsteps and in his ways and in his word and in his heart. This is everything we have been equipped and made for, and more now than ever, we need to respond. And so as I processed through, it just came up with a few things that I felt like God's saying to us as a church and as a people and as Christians everywhere. And so I wanted to walk through a few of those, but you have to hear this again, my brothers and sisters, now more than ever. And so number one, now more than ever, we need to be in and all in. So let me just break this in two pieces. When I say you need to be in, what do I mean? Some of you have been walking a very tight line for a very long time, not being in, not really ever surrendering your life to Jesus. You've been tiptoeing, you've been maybe living in sin, and you actually prefer living in sin to walking with God's people or whatever's happening, but you have resisted and you know he's calling you. And I will say this, we have to be careful. I don't wanna be that guy that's back to the turn or burn kind of thing, but it is literally coming to an hour that you have to decide. Jesus is always there in response in the face of this earth so far. He will always be there for a repentant heart. He will always be there at the knee of someone who bows and surrenders to him for his glory. But there's a flip side to this. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him when he is near. Matthew 3:2 says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So Jesus was literally there calling them to repent, because the kingdom of heaven was at hand. He was there. He was the kingdom of heaven. But I'm telling you, in these days, as we grow closer to some kind of obvious crescendo in the world, you have got to come to a place to surrender. It is not God's heart for you to perish. And there will come a time, every time you turn around to go reach the Jesus right now in this world, he will be there, but there will come a day when it will be too late. And maybe you don't want to hear that. Maybe I just sound like a spaz, but look at it in the world of how hell is breaking loose. And I'm telling you, Jesus is above and over these things. And the scriptures say, not for turning and burning did he die, but because he loved you. For God so loved the world. He knows your name. He created you. He loves you. He championed for you. He poured his blood out for you. The love of God is hovering all around you. God has been pursuing you. God is calling your name. And you need to be in. You need to respond. You need to surrender your life to Jesus. Nothing in this cantankerous world is worth more than he is. And so being all in is being in. And then part two, this is, we need to be all in. I truly believe with all of my heart that the part of Western culture and the Western church that has been so stagnant and so in the middle and so sleepy for so long, those days of being halfway in are gone. Gone. Things are happening right now in our world where we know that it seems pretty obvious that before too long, just to be a follower of Jesus, a true follower of Jesus, someone who loves him and is running after his name and is living by his word and not the man-made word, that people are going to come against that more and more and more. Again, it's not doom and gloom. It's just common sense. And so for many of us who have been tiptoeing on that line and just walking around, maybe you've gone to church your whole life. Now is the time to be all in. You don't want to be in the middle of a lukewarm phase of life when the Lord returns. Many of us are familiar with the verse in the scripture where the Lord in Revelation is talking to the church in Laodicea, and he tells them that they're lukewarm. They're not hot and they're not cold. They're just kind of meh. They're representing him, yet in action, they're not representing him. They're just kind of, they're not like on fire sharing the gospel, and they're not out burning crosses and devil worshiping. They're not hot or cold. They're just right in the middle. And God's hardest critique is for them because he says he wants to vomit them, spit them out of his mouth. Romans 13:11 says something interesting. It says, besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from your sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. Y'all, it's close. How many sermons have you heard about wake up and get ready and, the bride waiting for the bridegroom? But listen, is it possible that the day is drawing near? And if that's true, then where are we? Where are we? Are we all the way in? Have we woken up? It's time for us. And that's why I love being a part of this church and this church movement, is it's time for us to continue living like the church of the Bible. That's why I'm so proud of you, so proud of us. We've had our issues over the years, but I'm so honored to be a part of a group of people and a movement of churches that are all in. And I'm telling you, if you're part of us and you've been tiptoeing around, or if you're just watching this today on the stream and you've called yourself a Christian for years, but you know you haven't been all in, now's the time. Now's the time to be all in. And so when we talk about being all in, what does that look like? Just things like surrender. Like, there's a difference between saying you know him and saying and living like you've surrendered to him. Matthew 7:13, enter by the narrow gate. Then the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, for those who enter it are many. But there's the small gate, the narrow path that is not easy, that's not full of a bunch of people. It's not the status quo where everybody's going. And it is, guess what? It is small, but it's the right road. It takes a place of surrender, walking away from what's over here. Luke 9:23-24 says, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. In this season, now more than ever, is the time to surrender to Jesus. All the things that I've been holding back on on this side of life, it's time to let go. All the things that I've been dancing with in the middle. And why? Because when we surrender, we become mindless punks? No, because we live in the freedom of Jesus, and we live empowered, and we live without guilt and remorse in the power of God as we surrender. Another one, moving beyond about what we do in this place, is now we completely, now more than ever, we run after intimacy with Jesus. Like, now is the time for his presence. Like, I need more of Jesus. Just this week, you know, we've had some long weeks, and, you know, Pastor Jimmy was sick this week, and all this crazy stuff happening, and the world was just flipping end over end, tired. And I just came in here into the auditorium a couple nights ago, and I put on worship as loud as I could. I hope I didn't make the neighbors mad. And I just got on my face down here, and I said, Jesus, like, I just need your presence. I can't do this without you. I can't do this separated away from you. God, I need to be in your presence like David. I want to live every day of my life in the presence of God, where his glory dwells. I want to be near him. Now is the time. Now is not the time to be separated, not intimate with the Lord. Now is the time in these crazy days where we make it through because we draw near to Jesus. Also, in these days, like now more than ever, we need to walk through repentance. And we've talked about this a little bit, but Revelation 3:19 says, for those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. Whatever's in the way, whatever is in the way, now is the time, more than ever. Now more than ever is the time to deal with sin that has not been addressed, to repent, to walk away from, is literally what the word repent means. Whatever is in the way, I want to get it out. Why? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All of this unrepented sin, all of this undealt with garbage that's clean by the blood of Jesus, when we come to a place of repentance, it's wasting time and holding you back. It's time to purposefully repent. It doesn't matter what you've done. We've already clarified that. And if you don't know on here, it doesn't matter what you've done. We've seen the worst of men and women come to a place of repentance and be free, be washed clean. And in these days, now more than ever, we need to come to a place of being serious about repentance, killing sexual sin, young men and women, especially young men, coming out of that stupid trap of sexual sin and pornography. Now is the time to walk in freedom of that. Now, more than ever, clearing out unforgiveness, walking out addictions. 1 Peter 4:7 says something interesting. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and be sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. In these last days, they are not the days to medicate. They're not the days to self-medicate. They are days to be aware and to be awake and be open and clear to what God is doing and how to respond in these days. It's time to set things straight in our broken families that can be. Whatever it takes. Here's the second one. Now more than ever, we need to be clear on kingdom truth and how we represent it. This is so vitally important. In this season, we have to be very, very clear about what we believe and how we walk it out. And here's what I mean. Anytime man lives off of emotions first, before following after the Lord, listening for the Spirit, seeking God's way in a thing, it almost always doesn't turn out good. It undermines the truth that's only found in Jesus. Mankind doesn't do very well when we react in our emotions. And I want to say this, these days, most people I see are reacting out of emotion. And I'm not saying all the emotion is wrong. What I'm saying is, if we as a people, you know yourself, when you react in emotion, first and foremost all the time, what happens? It probably gets a little nasty. It does. But now, whereas a whole people group, as a whole country, as a whole world, the world is lit on fire with emotion, and we have to be careful that we don't yoke ourselves onto something that's built out of emotions, even good emotions, but can lead to dealing with them the wrong way. The Bible warns us about these days and getting off course. Galatians 1, 6 through 10, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Over and over and over again, you see in the scriptures, be careful. Watch out for false teachers. Be aware. Be awake. And I just want to say this carefully. There are a lot of good things to be passionate about out there, but they do not and cannot and must not take the place of the true gospel. I will say this and hear what I'm saying. The social justice gospel is not the gospel of Christ. Justice is a part of the kingdom of God. And we have failed at justice, not because we're not good at social justice, because we haven't been good at being the kingdom. We haven't been good at doing kingdom justice for so many, for years and so many of decades, so many circumstances. But in the end, we are not, there's this new thing that's pushing forward, and that's the, it's just the social gospel. It's the, so of good people and good things and do right by everybody. Those things are founded in the gospel, but they are not alone the gospel of Jesus Christ. The, what's becoming of the American gospel and the comfort gospel, it's not working out very good. It isn't the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me say this, politely, where is the prosperity gospel these days? Where is it? I mean, is this not a year of favor? You know what? I think it is a year of favor, even 2020. You know why? Because the truth is that sometimes God's favor is suffering. God allows us to go through it. Where is it? It's nowhere to be found here. Only the gospel of Jesus is sticking out. And we need to be careful in these days that we hold on to the only undistorted gospel of Christ. People are losing their minds. But here's the deal. We can't. We cannot allow our heart's cry to override his heart's cry. And they might be the same, but fleshing it out has to be his way. And we need to be clear. And so the scripture again, Luke 21, 36, but stay awake at all times, praying that you might have the strength to escape all of these things that are going to take place to stand before the Son of Man. We need to react and we need to deal with the injustices in what's going on in our society, in our city, in the world. But we better be cautious and be careful and be bold about the gospel. And it's not always going to be popular, even in the midst of emotion. Another thing that we need clarity in is as far as being clear on is our identity, like our eternal identity. And what do I mean by that? Like in this season, there's so much stuff overwhelming. There's going to be stuff that's going to come against the church, I'm telling you right now. And in the end, if you don't know these simple things and haven't been baptized in these simple things that Jesus created you, he knitted you in your mother's womb, the psalm said. Jesus died for you, like he died for you because he loves you, that you are chosen, that he chose you before time to be on this earth. If you don't know in your identity that you are clean, that you are adopted sons and daughters, that you are heirs with Christ, co-heirs, that you are overcomers because he's the overcomer, that you are empowered by the Holy Spirit, that you are a resident of heaven, heaven. How about that one? Like, we have to remember that our zip code is heaven. It's not this earth. Listen, if you are not grounded in these days, now more than ever, you are going to have an extremely hard time. We will have a hard time when we're not grounded in the truth of Christ, because when you turn on the news and so much garbage is flying your way and so many people are telling you what to think and what to act and what's right and what's wrong all the time. If you're not grounded in who you are, like who he says you are, you're going to drown. But if you do know who you are, you're standing on the rock. You see, in this season of calamity, the God of heaven is my Father. The God of heaven lives inside of you and me who are followers of Jesus. We have supernatural gifts, supernatural fruit and compassion, supernatural abilities to make it through this world. And no matter what is going on in America, no matter what is going on in our neighborhoods, no matter what is going on in socioeconomic ties or in races, no matter what is going on, first and foremost, we are the children of God. And we're okay. So that's the what. Now the how we represent it, and being clear on the same point, I just have to say this again. We must be careful not to yoke ourselves to anything that isn't completely of him. Maybe this is a bad illustration, but you take somebody like Westboro Baptist, Topeka, okay? Read the scriptures and they see that it is not God's heart for people to walk on male and male, female and female relationships. Homosexuality is a sin and breaks the heart of God. They see that truth. And instead of fleshing it out God's way, in Jesus' way, and loving people and sharing the good news and gospel of Jesus and letting that be what penetrates their heart, letting the Holy Spirit convict the people of their sin and righteousness, they end up making signs that says, God hates you, blame everything in our country because of it. And they totally had the idea that was right, but the methodology that was horrific. It's totally not of God. They took a truth of God to slam at people with it that are not of God's way. And I want to say this. It's another illustration that we have to be careful of in this season. When it comes to the phrase Black Lives Matter, there aren't many other words spoken that aren't as just sweetly true of the scriptures as Black Lives Matter. Of course, Black Lives Matter. I don't even know where they came up as a question. I don't know when a society got messed up. It's the gospel. It's truth. It's God's creation. It's the Imago Dei. Because the color of your skin, to ever think that somebody was less or different or not worth as much on earth, let alone heaven, is completely stupid. It is not the heart of God. Absolutely yoke myself to the ideals of Black Lives Matter. I've given my life to be an urban pastor because Black Lives Matter. And just, it's important to me. It's the heart of Jesus. But does that mean I can yoke myself to something like the Black Lives Matter movement? And I think this, without question, just as a man of God, just saying this from me to you, I don't think there's any way the church can yoke themselves with a movement, any movement, not just that one, but any movement that clearly in their statement, their doctrinal statement, whatever it is, their mission statement, that is anti-family, that is anti-marriage the way God did, that is pro-abortion, over and over and over things, militant and walking in all of this stuff that is not the heart of God. There's something so good in the middle of it that people matter. And then there's all this other stuff encircled around it. There's no way. And I've seen a lot of people, and I'm so honored to be a part of a movement of people who have the same heart, that we stand and we march and we protest. We do all of those things in the God's heart that Black Lives Matter. And I would do it with any other circumvented, any broken people, a society different than me, because it's the gospel, it's Jesus. But we cannot yoke ourselves to things that don't honor Jesus. And let me tell you this, I think that's a huge problem. Here's what's happening. It's like good things that always should have been truth, unfortunately, are now being yoked with so many other things, so many people's agendas. And I think even what people protesting, beautifully protesting, peacefully protesting, crying out for justice and for equality, I think they're even frustrated because it has been hijacked in some ways by things that don't honor God. And I guarantee you, listen to me, again, not gloom or doom, it's going to come against the church. There's going to come a time soon and very soon where we can't say what God says, we can't preach what God says, and it's going to come against us, and we need to be ready for that. But we cannot and will not sell out the whole truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. No way. I was praying, and I've been struggling with this topic over the last number of weeks. And, you know, I guess I'm not supposed to talk about this stuff, or I am allowed to talk about it. I'm just going to talk about it. I've been angry. I've been heartbroken to see, a man lose his life at the knee of someone as he cries out. I mean, just ignorant man that just completely destroying this man's life on camera, and seeing those things happen numerous times every other place. And it's just, I'm frustrated and I'm angry and my heart breaks for people that I love that are different than me. And as I see that, it just makes me want to just bawl and get angry and punch something. And then also I'm frustrated because I feel like, in a way, selfishly, like this is what we've been here. We need to be way more intentional about just people of every tribe and every color. And that's what we've been trying to do in mission. I believe it's what we try to do as a church. We can get better at it. But in the end, I kind of felt frustrated lately because I felt neutered almost. I felt like I couldn't say anything. And I was trying to walk through my frustration, y'all. The other day I was on the phone with with a bunch of Antioch pastors. And this one pastor, one of our pastors from one of our larger churches, great, great, great church. He was lamenting about the same thing. And he was articulating it in ways that I thought were really good. He was frustrated. And he had people on all sides of he's got police officers in his church. He's got people in his church that he saw smashing windows on TV. People are rising up and angry that he's not saying this. And their other side is angry because he's not saying that. And he's not saying enough. And all of a sudden, as we were listening to him, and I just felt like God downloaded this thing onto my heart. And it's this. It was a word for him, but then as I came out of my mouth, I felt like the Lord says, this is you. And here's what I believe that the Lord is saying. I heard the Lord say that he's not looking for more voices in this moment. He's looking for prophets. Think about that for a minute. There's so much noise. There's so many people talking, so many people hollering, and some of it's good and some it's not. That's the thing about a voice. We've learned that because of Facebook and Instagram and all this stuff. Everybody's got a voice, but not every voice is representing truth. And in this season, while everybody feels like they have to say something, or they have to justify themselves, or they have to blot out in anger, all these things, whatever people are feeling, they have voices. And what was happening is I prayed, and I was thinking about my brother that I'm talking about, the pastors of this other church. In the end, it's frustrating because you want to say a bunch of stuff, but in the end, God's not looking for men and women to say stuff and to be a voice. God is looking for prophets. And whatever your experience of a prophet is, what do I mean? God is looking for men and women that will hear what he has to say, what he wants to communicate, and will be bold enough to say it. And when you say it and when you speak in the middle of seasons like these, you don't always gain friends. You don't always gain amens. You don't always gain followers on some Facebook feed. But in the end, when God is looking for prophets, he's looking for men and women to speak the truth. And I'm telling you, in this crazy world we live in, both sides are going to be offended when they're living in an all, and I'm not just talking about this subject, I'm talking about every subject. When God's men and women speak God's voice and God's heart, somebody's going to have a problem with it. We're not called to make noise. We're called to speak God's truth. God isn't looking for voices. Listen, you have a voice. We all have a voice. It doesn't mean we should all talk all the time. We have been called men and women to be able to hear the voice of God and speak God's truth into a situation. We don't lose our minds. We don't join bandwagons. We don't jump on things because of emotions. We do and say what the God of heaven says. He's looking for prophets. Here's the last one. Now more than ever, we must engage the world with the gospel. We've talked about this for years, Matthew 24:14, in different places where it's clear that Jesus hasn't come back. Why is all this stuff still going on and all this calamity still happening? Why doesn't he just end it? Because he's a God of love and because he is waiting for everyone to hear the gospel. And when every voice, every ear, every color, every tribe, every nation, everything, every person has the ability to hear and respond to the gospel, the scriptures say, then the end will come. If that's true, and you know this is true because we talk about it a lot, but now more than ever, it's time to engage the world with the gospel. We have to get over the blockage of sharing Jesus with people everywhere we go. Even if it's ugly, we have to respond. We have to step out. We need to fumble over our words to be able to get to words from the Holy Spirit, like until it becomes a rhythm in your life. Like, I don't know what it's going to take. Is it really going to take? If one thing we need to grow around here in, and we've been growing in, but we want to be even more so, is we want to be men and women who share the gospel. We take it to the world, and we've been really good about going to the nations and sharing the gospel with people, and we want to grow and be really good about here, there, and everywhere, sharing the gospel, not a program, not just a class, not this is a training school, but a lifestyle of people who live to share the gospel with other people. Scriptures are so sweet. As you look, what does God say? He says, John 4:35, do you not say there are yet 4 months and then harvest comes? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. We can't wait. Yeah, we got 4 months till harvest comes. And the Lord's like, listen, open your eyes. Look at it in the context of this crazy world falling apart. The harvest is here. Rob, the harvest is now. Antioch, the harvest is right outside these doors. Luke 10:2, Jesus says, and he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest and send out laborers in the harvest. And I truly believe that in this season, as God weeds out the church, there might be less people in the churches, maybe even in the pews. I don't know. Maybe that'll explode. But I guarantee you that I think this is our time, our clarion call to rise and be men and women who share the gospel. I've penned this before, but if we refuse to share the love of Jesus with the lost, have we ever really known the love of Jesus to begin with? This season, now more than ever, is calling us on the mat. And it's not just sharing Jesus. Like, our call is more than just sharing Jesus. It's a absolute refusal for anything less than disciples being made and then making new disciples and sharing the gospel. There isn't much more time. Y'all, I don't think there's a lot of time. And I'm not prophesying the end of times, but life as we know it, at least you have to see is done. This is a new world we live in. The worst thing that we said at the beginning of this whole season was the worst thing that can happen to his church is to walk out of this unchanged. He's close. Soon and very soon. And now more than ever, it's time to rise. You can see this stuff going on. You could choose to try to run. I get it. You could choose to just exist and wait for it to get better. You can join in it the wrong way, get ticked off and run out and do it your way. or we can stand like men and women of God in the midst of the calamity, like we were called to be, and actually see kingdom come. In these days of calamity, we don't need to be scared. We need to get busy. Now more than ever, we need to engage Jesus like never before. We need to be the church of the Bible like never before. We need to make disciples like never before. We need to take the campuses of the city like never before. We need to run to the broken in the city. We need to wage war on sexual abuse, and we need to wage war on trafficking in the city now more than ever. Now more than ever. I've been asking myself this question a lot lately. If the apostles were here today, what would their response be to this whole season? And I think the answer is just the same thing God's calling us to. Now more than ever, it's time to rise. This is our time. This is our time to shine. I'm sorry if things are getting uncomfortable, but in the end, if it reaches a fire inside of you that changes your world and the nations, what else could we ask for? As we move through and we continue to grow as a church, not wanting to walk and just challenging people in hellfire and brimstone, that's not my point. But there is a reality that the time is near, and we need to wake up and continue the journey that we've been fighting for the last 13 years, and let this be our finest hour in the world of calamity, not comfort, where the church rises. Man, I pray that Jesus would crush the spirit of brokenness in Wichita. Crush racial divide in our nations because of the blood and the body and the spirit of Jesus Christ. May people walk away out of their addictions. May we run from the things that cause brokenness in the heart of God and cause separation from us to them. Now more than ever, Jesus is here. We are His, and it's our time to rise. Jesus, I just believe this is from You. Now more than ever. God, You have wired us for a season like this. We have been pushing and pulling and training and going hard, Lord, over these years, and not everybody has gotten it. But Lord, You have been good to us, preparing us to be Your bride, Your church that doesn't shrink back in times like these. But more than ever, Lord Jesus, we engage You. We engage people with the gospel. We engage the truth. And Lord, we do it in a way that's clear, and we do it Your way, that's not fueled by emotion. Emotion is fine as long as the tip of the spear is You and Your kingdom and doing it Your way. And give us a passion for that. God, we dedicate the rest of the days of our lives together to You. And now more than ever, God, we want You to fill this place. God, we love You. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.